Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, surprised in some ways and disappointed in others. We'll get to all of it. We'll react to the Guardians later on. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here from 7 to 11 on overtime. Running the board, we have Dominic Clary as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us tonight. And this is like it's almost an odd feeling because we're like borderline. I almost feel vindicated for the way that I felt evaluating a Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, their first two performances, but not in a good way. Like, there's no victory lap in this, right? Like, I don't feel like I'm taking this and I'm running home and I'm like, finally, I can prove that I'm right because I want to see Shedeur succeed. I sat up here and I told you guys last week, like, Shedeur is a quarterback that I think has the most potential. He's a quarterback that if there is one on this roster, I think has the chance to be the franchise quarterback for the Browns, and I want to see that guy succeed at every single turn. But it's also the evaluation of looking at, all right, well, his first start, he got away with some things, showed some red flags that he got away with. And, appearance number two up against the Rams, a lot of those red flags, the things that didn't necessarily bite him in his first start, came back and actually reared their ugly head and bit him in this appearance. And I just think it's a... You can pass it off and look at Shadore's, okay, the first start was really good, right? Obviously, like I said, showed his red flags. And the second appearance that he came in, the second game he played, was really bad. And Shedeur probably comes out somewhere in the middle of those. Like, it's fine. He is a rookie quarterback. This is part of, right, the Browns telling you he's a developmental quarterback. He has a lot of things to work on. I think we were shown that. Just through the course of, okay, we watched him on Saturday compared to the first time he played against the Panthers. It was, yes, he has great things. We can see why a team like the Browns would want to go through and draft him and like him. We can also see where the developmental part of a piece of that also comes in. Because, yes, we can just chalk it up and say that Shedeur had a bad game. I think in a lot of ways that's what this was. But there were clear things, the exact things, that I think when you go back and you look at what Shedeur did at his time in Colorado, the same things that I pointed out after the week one start against the Panthers, that a lot of people pointed out after the week one start against the Panthers, where it's like, he's still trying to do a little bit much with the ball, turning his back to the offensive line, and he made it work, and he made great plays out of it, but there's going to be a time and there's going to be situations where that does not work. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not out there. He's not Lamar Jackson. He can't make as many plays with his legs. So that's something that's going to be, coming back and it is going to show as a negative for Shedeur Sanders. And Saturday against the Rams, it showed as the negative. You take five sacks. Yes, you got bad offensive line play. Yes, I think you can also rewind and look at those sacks and say a lot of those were also on Shedeur. Right, like a lot of drifting back in the pocket, a lot of moments where you had a chance to make a difference and you had a chance to make the right play, even if not the pretty play, right? Even if it's not the one that gets you your first down or ends up in the end zone, a chance to show the development as a quarterback. And Shedeur in preseason week three, unfortunately, failed that test. He showed that there's still a lot of things that he needs to work on. But again, I feel like this is where, when we're watching preseason games, you have to be able to say, yes, I can take things away from this. Yes, I can evaluate my quarterbacks, but I can't just run off of recency bias and the last thing that I saw. Right? I can't just act as if, okay, well, the Shador that I saw only existed from week three. And let's just forget about the week one start. No, I think you take both of them in and can evaluate his preseason as a whole. And again, I think it matches up with a lot of what we thought about Shador coming out of college. He has high-level accuracy, elite ball placement, and when he's given time in the pocket, he is able to display that. But as soon as a rush starts coming, as soon as the pressure is on, Shador turns into hero mode. And while that looks great sometimes, and a lot of times in college, it looked great, we all know that does not fly in the NFL. So I think you take a massive positive from week one, in which I thought, again, he looked really good. He looked better than Dylan Gabriel's start against Philadelphia. And I think you take that and combine it with the week three struggles, and you end up with Shador Sanders probably landing somewhere, like, if I had to attach a letter grade to it, you'd probably take away and, you know, probably attach like a C- to his preseason. It's like, okay, yeah, first one was really good, second one was really bad. You average out somewhere near the middle. You come away just saying, okay, yes, I've seen the positives and I've seen the negatives of Shador Sanders. Now it is about working on those things and working through those things. But all week three really showed me, and I don't know how anybody comes away with a different evaluation of this, if I'm being 100% honest, is that looking at Shador Sanders, no, I do not see a quarterback that is ready for the NFL right now. I see a guy that needs to cook. I see a guy that needs to be able to sit behind a starter, take some time, develop his mind in the game, and develop everything that he needs to do to make himself a successful quarterback. He has a lot of the almost intangibles, right? He carries himself with the right personality, the right persona. I think he's character-wise, grades out in all the right ways. But on the field, you just are missing some of the almost instinctual stuff that now needs to be drilled into your brain of get rid of the ball quickly, make sure you find your checkdowns, don't drift back in the pocket. But when we talk about arm strength, accuracy, ball placement, a lot of the things that come as second nature to these guys, a lot of the things that, you know, you've worked on your time and you either do or don't have it, I know I can look at Shador and I know I can say, hey, the kid's got those things. I don't know how anybody comes away with any other evaluation than Shador didn't look good playing on Saturday. He didn't. And if you come away looking at this one and going, well, he didn't have the protection and he didn't have this, he didn't have that. There were a lot of plays that, yes, Shador is working under stress and Shador is not put into a perfect situation. Again, in some regard, welcome to being a fifth-round pick in the NFL draft. Whether rightfully or wrong, you are a fifth-round pick, and you have to show that you can overcome those things. I'm sorry, but playing for the Cleveland Browns in 2025, this offensive line is not going to provide you with elite pass coverage, right? You're not, or pass protection. They're not going to have this ungodly level of pass protect. They are a run-first offense with run-first offensive linemen. So if you step into a game against more talented defensive ends, there's only going to be so good of offensive line play that you're going to get. You're only going to get a mid-tier quality, probably at best. This offensive line is not set up to give you 10 years to throw the football. So I need to see how you work under distress, and you have to be able to work well. And those are the things that, you know, Joe Flacco has time and time again shown that he can do in the NFL. Those are the type of things that Dylan Gabriel, I thought, displayed nicely as he stepped up into the pocket over and over again and handled the pocket pressure well, even while sitting at, you know, 5 foot something. I still thought that Dylan Gabriel looked good. I'm not going to go out there and tell you that he looked like, you know, Joe Montana or Steve Young or any of the all-time greats. He wasn't Tom Brady. But Dylan Gabriel, to me, functioned pretty close to what a backup quarterback should look like. In year one, in the preseason, I'll take that. I just think Shador is missing some of those things. Shador is just a bit behind, and that was displayed. So I think, if anything, as much criticism, I think, has come Kevin Stefanski's way following this game, and as much as has landed on his shoulders, that's the part of it I just don't understand. The Browns have been painting you a message, telling you something over and over again. And when it shows to be true, then a lot of it seems like it flips on Stefanski. Shador Sanders himself will tell you, And he did tell you after the game, those sacks, those were on me. There was nothing that, you know, I got fine protection. A lot of that is on me. So, again, I'm sitting here and I root for Shedeur Sanders. I do. And I think he can be great. I just had it proven to me on Saturday what I thought all along, that Shedeur Sanders week one would not be ready to be an NFL starter. I said I would have drafted him with the second overall pick. I still said that even while drafting him, I wouldn't start him day one. Right? Week one, when you come out of the preseason, I did not think you'd be ready. There are a lot of things he had to work on, but you were looking for a great quarterback. I thought that he displayed some of those things in the first start. I thought that a lot of the things he had to work on were going to be tough things to work through and were not going to be easy habits to break. I texted our good buddy who joins us on Fridays, and Lance Reisland, after the game. And I asked him, I was like, have you, you know, you're a former high school coach, have you dealt with quarterbacks or have you played with quarterbacks through your time in being a college quarterback and growing up that struggled to get rid of the ball in moments that they should? And he talked to me frankly about it. He's like, yeah, guys don't break that habit easy. As a coach, it makes you want to tear your hair out. It's also at times what makes guys great. So yeah, Shedeur just has to find that balance. He has to be able to, you know, allow himself to survive through plays where he can make those moments and can make those things happen, but it can't be the way that he's doing them right now. He needs to find a little bit of the middle ground. Evaluating his preseason performance again, I think that a lot of people are going to come away with this and they're going to step away and either say Shedeur was great and this was somebody else's fault, as I've seen several times online, or the people that probably didn't think Shedeur was going to be great right off the rip are going to take this and they're going to run with it and say, see, this is what I was talking about. I think when you evaluate the preseason as a whole for the kid, it was fine. It was a mid-tier preseason, you know, overall. He showed good things and he showed bad things, as I expect a rookie quarterback to do, as his fellow rookie quarterback and Dylan Gabriel did, showed good and bad. This is not the end of a career for Shedeur Sanders. This is not spelling him off as cannot be a quarterback in the NFL. This is what a late-round quarterback tends to look like. They show things that they don't do well. There's going to be a reason when cutdowns come, Shedeur Sanders is still on that roster. 216-474-0092. How do you evaluate Shedeur Sanders preseason? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. The Station Buzz heading your way at 7:40. We're going to talk to Dylan Feltovich, Cleveland Browns on SI, coming up at 8 o'clock. Get a grip, as we always do, at 9. We're going to react to the Guardians when they wrap up over at Progressive Field against the Rays. We have Michael Markoch coming in the 10 o'clock hour for Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. How did you evaluate Shedeur Sanders' preseason as a whole? We're going to get to your calls coming up here in about 5 minutes as well. A little look at what Dylan Gabriel did in the positives and what I think it means for the quarterback room, or at least it should mean for the quarterback room. Again, all coming your way at 7:20 here on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys right here until 11 on The Fan. I did want to touch on, you heard it in Michael's update, Jordan Schultz reporting the Browns are expected to release wide receiver and return specialist DeAndre Carter, which is definitely going to make this this wide receiver room very interesting. You know, if that ends up being the case, which it wouldn't entirely shock me. Like, if you would have made me put my finger on it, I would have guessed that DeAndre Carter would have made the roster because they need a returner bad, and they haven't had a returner, and they've had bad luck with these guys so far. But if DeAndre Carter's not making it, I mean, you turn your head and you go, okay, let's start, you know, fleshing out the wide receiver room, because you have Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Isaiah Bond's going to make the roster based on his contract. Jamari Thrash, you think, is going to make the roster. It leaves a 5-6 spot open for somebody like Deontay Johnson if they want to carry six. Also, probably makes it possible that you're looking at a guy like either Gage Larvidan, who could probably help you out in the return game. Could also be looking at a guy like Caden Davis, who at this point I'd be a little surprised if he makes it and isn't just a practice squad guy. But he definitely showed flashes throughout the preseason. But not taking Carter onto the roster is a notable decision. Like, if the Browns end up making that official, that's certainly something that they're considering. Of, hey, you know, we'll figure it out in the return game, but we need talent in the wide receiver room. We need to go get guys like in Isaiah Bond. We need to go, you know, make sure we have room on the roster for, you know, maybe Deontay Johnson. Pure talent could actually help this team win some games as long as we can figure out the off the field stuff. And apparently, you know, he had bad joint practices against the Eagles. And apparently on other sides of things also wasn't, you know, all that in absolutely incredible in the preseason game, like the Dylan Gabriel interception against the Eagles. We saw bad things happen there where part of his route running helped contribute to that interception as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But this does feel like it definitely pushes towards Deontay making the roster. And we're going to talk about it coming up here in a little bit as well. But I want to get your guys' calls at 216-474-0092. How do you evaluate Shedeur Sanders' preseason as a whole? Let's get out of the phones. Aramis is in West Park. What's going on, Aramis?
We're going to
Aramis, you there?
But it's and then we could eat outside.
Does not appear that Aramis is there. Let's keep things rolling. Let's go to Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
My evaluation is, Jay, that he looks like the fifth-round pick that he is. That's what he looked like to me. Had I not seen anything from Colorado or Jackson State and just saw his preseason play, mm-hmm. He looks like a fifth-round pick. And, oh, surprise, he was picked in the fifth round. And I think he got a guaranteed hefty contract, which is much better than most fifth-rounders get. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely earned, I think, above-slot value. It wasn't anything wild, but definitely probably a little bit above-slot value from where he was, if I remember the contract correctly.
It was a million, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a million a year.
Okay, so that I don't know that I know any fifth-round picks. There were rookies that got money like that. He's coachable. He's clearly coachable. He's clearly going to get better, and you can clearly see where he's going to get better, but he's not better than Gabriel. So my assessment of him is just as I described. Expect him to work hard and pay attention to what he needs to get done to get better over the year, and then we'll see something much better next year. And if Gabriel holds up, no, he doesn't get banged up, and Flacco doesn't get banged up, then it's going to be Flacco and Gabriel to run the distance for the Browns this year behind that very good offensive line. That's my evaluation of Sanders, and that's what I think is how it's going to go. So now, as I exit, you can respond to it after I get off the phone. Mm-hmm. Does he look like the fifth-round pick that he is to you?
So it's part of it, and Todd, I appreciate the call as always. And part of it is, yes, he looks like, I think, a day three pick. He looks like a guy who, yes, clearly had things that he struggled and has to work on. Hey, fifth round pick is tough for me because a whole body of work, if I eliminated the fact that one was one game and the second was another, right? Like, if I just were to view, hey, that was one performance as a whole, I would say, yeah, fifth round pick. If all those things were mixed together, you have the clear negatives and you have some clear positives. I think, though, when you separate those into two games, preseason start one, Shedeur Sanders is not a fifth-round pick. But yes, the red flags were there, but that is a guy who exceeded fifth-round expectations. And I would say that game two for him, but preseason game three for the Browns against the Rams was fifth-round pick or lower than fifth-round pick. That was a guy who clearly had legitimate issues in the pocket, playing against third and fourth teamers, playing with third and fourth teamers. You know, several of the guys on the offensive line that he was playing with were released the next day. It still is a struggle in trying to evaluate, is he truthfully a fifth-round pick? Because I do think there's extra things that went into that. But yeah, I don't just look at, you know, guys who do this for a living that are putting, you know, first, second-round grades on him, and then he flips around and it turns into a fifth rounder. They normally do not miss anywhere nearly that bad. Is it just one pure quarterback, like poor evaluation? I think there's, you know, part of that that definitely works into it, and the attention that was surrounding him probably helped boost him up a little bit. I'm sure that he could have hurt himself in interviews or other things, like was talked about throughout the draft process. I also don't know that we can just rely on that to be the only thing, though. Again, 216-474-0092. How do you evaluate Shedeur Sanders preseason? Let's go to Nelson's in Avon Lake. What's going on, Nelson?
Hey, Jake. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Good show, as always. Hey, to me, right, it's an incomplete because I'm not a quarterback evaluator. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I'm not a professional. But, you know, going with the eye test and what we saw in college, right, you can argue that he does not. He is more talented than your prototypical fifth-round pick. So I think that that's fair to say. Right now, right at this moment in time, you can say definitively that Dylan is ahead of him in his development. And my disappointment with Shedeur is he failed the test because, you know, I think that the best trade that a quarterback can have or a quarterback has is the ability to run an offense. And he fell prey to what a lot of these young, immature, and when I'm saying immature, I'm talking about from the position, not him as an individual, right? Mm-hmm. But from a quarterback perspective, you know, what a lot of these young quarterbacks or young players fall back prey to is that at the level that they play, whether in high school or in college, they are the best player, right? And then they come to this level and they fall back to, you know, what they can't get away with at you know, in college or in, you know, in high school when the players or the people that they're playing against are not as good as they are. And I think it was very telling, right, what the Browns or the people that see him every day, you know, say about him when they were putting him fourth in the depth chart, right? And I think it illustrated that very, very well. Now, do I think potential is if he commits to his craft and the Browns really truly commit to his development, I think he has the potential. Now, that remains to be seen, right? Because as you know, at this level is you need results. You need to play right away. And to me, he's just not ready. I think that the game showed on, you know, on Saturday that he's just not ready. Whether he was playing with, you know, guys that got cut or not, what he needed to do, the assignment was run the offense, right? Run the offense and don't make the prototypical mistakes that you've made in college that, you know, gave people pause about you as a talented player. But thanks, man, for your time as always.
Yep, I appreciate you as always, Nelson. And I think Nelson lays it out well. Like, you have an assignment to do as a quarterback in that situation. Bad offensive line play, good offensive line play. You need to operate as the offense. And, like, Shedeur, you can go back and watch the tape. There's moments before he starts to scramble around in the pocket where if you keep your eyes downfield and you start to feel the pressure, and Dan Orlovsky talked about this in his analysis of Shedeur Sanders, you can go through and you can look. It's like, okay, you feel the pressure. Your eyes should shoot to, where is my closest receiver? Is he open? Can I release the ball and get to my check down? There were multiple moments where his check down was open. Does it result in a 3-yard gain? Yeah, it might. Does it, you know, not actually look like a flashy play? But does it get you the result that you want is the answer. Does it get you a positive result rather than taking a sack or drifting back and having to throw the ball away? Does it just result in a play that moves you even inches down the field? And in many of the cases for Shedeur Sanders, that's what it was. It was moments where you could have gotten a net positive play, and instead you ended up with, you know, 24-yard sacks or any of the other 4 sacks that he ended up taking, you know, much of them for less yards than the 24-yard sack that he took. But that was clearly the most glaring thing, was watching him drift back. And it's like, you just can't do that. You have to find the check down or be able to throw the ball away and just say, let me live until the next play. But it's those things you fall back on, the things that you knew you could get away with. Playing at Colorado, playing against Big 12 competition, where the defenses is a whole for years, have just not lived up to par across, you know, the better conferences in college football. But it's over and over again, you find these things. And it's, you can't fall back on them. But I expect the young guy to. Those are the things that happen. When things go off script, you fall back to what you know. And that's part of this development process for Shedeur Sanders, is we're going to have to try to break you of those habits. Because that does not fly in the NFL. Those are not the things that work right here. You have to be able to make the play that best fits your team and best suits you for, even if it is, just set us up for better field position on defense. Unfortunately, that's the game that the Browns play. Hey, this is not go make the play with your legs, and Shedeur failed to do that. Again, not all of it was bad. I also saw a lot of people sort of blow up at the not going back in for the last drive thing. And, you know, Kevin basically sitting him down and Shedeur thinking that he was going back in. Now, I've told you guys, I think every rep for Tyler Huntley is a wasted rep. And if you're telling me that people needed to see Tyler Huntley and Tyler Huntley had to get out there to display his own talent and put something on film for other teams to go pick him up, hey, Tyler Huntley's got plenty of years in this league. He's got plenty of starts in the NFL. Hey, he doesn't need preseason tape in order to do that. People know what that guy is. But I think this was more about Shedeur. Like, the sitting the last drive came because you watched five drives of Shedeur Sanders where wasn't changing. He was getting put through a beating, making the same mistakes over and over again. And those are the things that not only are you, okay, you put yourself in a two-minute drill, what's going to happen? Probably the exact same thing that just happened on the last five drives. And either way, I think that's the type of thing that drives a coach crazy. Right? It's okay to make mistakes. They talk about this. They just don't want you to make the same mistake twice. Shedeur not only made that same mistake twice, he made it three, four, five times. I'm sure that Kevin was probably to a point where he goes, I've seen enough. We have plenty of film to go back and highlight things that you need to work on. Let's not put you through any more, you know, physical pain coming off an oblique injury. Let's just call this one a day and get out of here. Let Snoop take the reps and move on. Again, 216-474-0092. Larry is in Elyria. What's going on, Larry?
Yeah, how you doing, Jake? You know, you made some great points there. You're right. I went back and looked at the film also on him about the checkdowns. But one thing about Coach Stefanski now, what's great about this, They mentioned he never get to develop a quarterback. This is a chance now to do it with Shedeur. It is. And he has a lot of tools, too. He does. He got nice size, arm. And like you mentioned, he made great points. He didn't really say, but like you said, in college, they're dead wide open. And all of a sudden, man, that window closes a lot more in the NFL. And you got linemen. I mean, defensive linemen run a 4.6, 4.7. Your linebackers, too. You know what I mean? But he can learn from the experience, man. I think he's going to definitely get better. That's what Coach Stefanski can do with him. And I think next time around, Shedeur knows better not to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm hoping that he takes this away. And everything that I've seen, and Larry, appreciate the call. Everything that I've seen from Shedeur is that he has been teachable. And at least he appears to be teachable, right? We're not in the meeting rooms every day. We don't see everything. But Shedeur appears to be a guy that takes in the moments that go poorly, and he puts them on himself, and he wants to take away. He shows up early for practice. He's one of the last guys that usually walks away. He does everything right, everything by the book, the way that he should. So like, you can't knock the character and the person of Shedeur Sanders at this point. I really don't think that you can.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But this is one that you have to use as a learning experience. And I think you will. You've just ran out of time to do it on a football field in legitimate game time now. And unfortunately, the situation the Browns are in, if you're going to draft a quarterback next year, windows are closing for Shedeur. 216-474-0092. How do you evaluate Shedeur Sanders' preseason performance? We're going to get to a couple more of your guys' calls here on the other side, as well as this station buzz in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. I want to get on the phones here quickly for a couple of calls. Let's go to Jeff is in Cleveland. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, guy. Yeah. Shador, it seems like he needs to change his hardwiring. Okay, he's not in Buffalo. He's not in Jackson State. He's got to do things the NFL way. He can't do things the father way. He's got to do it the NFL way. And they got a certain process he's got to follow. And he's got to adhere to that process no matter what. So that's what Shador. Get Dylan, he's going to have to realize, too, that these guys he's throwing the ball against are missiles. They're seeking missiles, and they're seeking to devour their receivers. So he's got to be more cognizant of where he's placing the football so his guys can't get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a couple of balls with Dylan Gabriel, and Jeff, I appreciate the call. The Dylan Gabriel thing, I saw a couple of the throws that he made. Ball placement was a little bit of an issue. The one got tipped at the line that was, I think, on the broadcast deemed like a medicine ball or a hospital ball, and they went back and corrected it, and Joe and Chris. But, like, that one, okay, you can only do so much. Ball got tipped at the line. I mean, when it lands in the place that it does at that point, it's not really on Dylan after that. It's just unfortunate. But there were a couple other ones. I think that he definitely has some things to work on. Like, I don't think Dylan's a finished product. And it's wild when I hear people go through and talk about Dylan as if, well, this is probably as good as he gets. Like, yeah, he spent 6 years in college. I'm not saying that the kid's got miles to grow, but he just still have room to improve. Like, I don't think that he's ever going to look like, you know, he's not going to be Peyton Manning, and he's not going to have this just giant leap to make. He hits his checkdowns. He hits his guys where he needs to hit them. He's accurate for the most part, and he gets through his progressions quick. Like, I think there's still room there. Like, there's still room to be better, especially if you're just asking him to be mostly what he's been in his career, which is a game manager. I think that, you know, he can continue to do that at a high level, and at a higher level even than he's been doing. But yeah, I would definitely say that. I would agree with you there, Jeff. And the hired wiring thing, again, it's tough. Shador has to get that type of stuff out of his brain. I don't think that's just an easy thing to eliminate, though. Like, that is one of the hardest things to do as a quarterback is, hey, when I'm analyzing 19 different things at once, I need to make sure that I'm not, you know, drifting back in the pocket. I am making sure to get rid of the ball when he's, you know, apt. It's easy to, you know, basically armchair quarterback and sit there and watch the broadcast and say, I think it's a very difficult thing to do. But again, in that way, you are right. And I agree with you. It's just, I think that's going to take a lot of time. It is a tough habit to break. All right, real quickly, let's squeeze one more in. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Good. You know, I do feel bad for Shador Sanders. I feel that he, you know, had more talent than he showed in that last game. I think his talent is more similar to what he did against Carolina. I thought also he had bad luck. Once he got injured against that week against Philly, that really set him back, because he really could have showed out in that game against Philly and really pressed Dylan Gabriel. And, you know, they didn't have to see Tyler Huntley at all. You know what I mean? I felt that injury really set Shador Sanders back. It's really a shame, because I think the kid has what it takes, but, you know, yeah, he's also just bad luck, and we'll see what happens. We may not see this guy until December or January of next, you know, of way into the season. I do want to give you a quick thought on Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, you know, I never wanted to get rid of Nick Chubb. I felt that was a big mistake by the organization. You know, they could have gotten away with, they didn't have to draft this Dylan Sampson. I'm not that impressed with him so far. You know, I would have kept Nick Chubb no matter what, and that's the kind of guy you just take with you the distance, and he retires a Brown. And already in the preseason, I looked it up, he's averaging 5 yards a carry. Now, it's limited, you know, 5 carries, 25 yards, but he's looked pretty good so far. So I want to keep my eye on Nick Chubb and the Texans, and I think the Browns made a big mistake letting him go when they could have signed him for a modest contract and he could have finished out as a Brown. So I'm skeptical about the Browns front office all the way around. I got to be real honest. I mean, there's a lot of things. I also want to keep my eye on Abdul Carter. I think Abdul Carter is going to be a fantastic pro. And again, I think he's going to be a better pro than Mason Graham. I don't even think we're going to need the 2 first-round picks next year. I think we're going to be bad enough on our own where we won't even need Jacksonville's pick. But let's see what happens. But and I'm questioning a lot of what Andrew Berry does, to be really honest, and Paul DePodesta. I think he meddles in the things a lot more than anybody talks about. I think he's a big-time meddler in the Browns organization.
Yeah, and BP, I think it's fair at this point. I appreciate the call. I think it's fair at this point to go through and question some of the things. Like, I like the draft overall from Andrew Berry. I'm not going to shy away from the fact. I like Dylan Sampson. I don't think that he's looked great during the preseason. I also don't think he's supposed to be a premier back the way that they've had to use him and might have to use him at points this season. I do think you can question some of the roster building, though, right? Like, you look at the running back room. Again, I brought this up, I think, last week, at the end of last week, about the run game. It's like, you went out there and you drafted Quinshon Judkins as your north-to-south downhill runner. Great guy to do that in the football field. You also didn't draft anybody else to even pseudo-fill that role if Judkins were to get hurt or not be able to play like we're seeing right now. It's like you were banking on health of a running back for 17 games. You can't bank on the health of 17 games from a running back. And when he goes down, your plan was what? Let Jerome Ford run the ball? Like, we saw that last year. And while Jerome put up numbers, I don't think it was incredible. Like, on a regular basis, you saw some big runs broken out that helped his yards per carry. But ultimately, a lot of the times where you felt like you needed that short down back, that was supposed to be Deontay Foreman. And Deontay Foreman was never that guy at any point last year. So I definitely think all of those things can come into play. You can question a lot of what Andrew Berry does, but I don't know. I struggle on the Shador, if he would have played against Philly thing. Like, the injury impacts him, and I get it. You judge a guy coming, you know, right off an oblique injury, gets into the game, doesn't look that great, right? Coming off an injury, probably reverts to some habits, isn't solely focused on what he needs to do on the football field because you're nursing it. I also have to turn around at some point and say Dylan Gabriel is doing the same thing. Right, week two when he made his start against the Eagles, he was also doing the same thing against the Eagles where he had just come off of a hamstring injury. It's like both of those kind of matter, but I can't evaluate one guy differently than I evaluate the other. Dylan Gabriel got the full look. Nobody brought up the fact that he was really nursing an injury and used that as a credit to him. I don't want to turn around and be like, hey, it's all off the board just because, you know, Shador was hurt and he would have been great against Philly. I don't know that. I don't know what playing against Philly would have looked like from Shador. I have the two games that I have to go off of, which is watching him against the Panthers and playing very well, and watching him against the 48 guys that dressed for the Rams and not playing very well. But I think there's a lot there from Shador. I think there's a lot to be happy about. There's a lot to be happy about with Dylan. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later in the show. Hey, we're going to push the station buzz back here probably somewhere in the 9 o'clock hour, but I did want to touch a little bit more on the wide receivers, right? DeAndre Carter, if you missed the report, it's been in Michael's updates. We talked about it a little bit at the start of 720. Jordan Schultz reporting the Browns expected not to re-sign wide receiver DeAndre Carter, which I thought was really interesting. Because I don't know that I considered him really a lock to make this team. He was fringe. He was on the bubble. But it does open up a different route here. It opens up for other guys to be involved. And it still is a question. Do you take five receivers or do you take six? Because I think breaking it down, you need a guy that's going to return kicks and punts. So yeah, your four wide receivers are a lock in Cedric Tillman, Jerry Jeudy, Jamari Thrash, Isaiah Bond. Those guys are making the roster. Not going to be any question about it. They're going to be on the 53-man roster. It's then a question of whether you keep five or six. And if you're looking for a turn guy, Gage Larvin would be the person that you slot in as a wide receiver. The other route they could walk down, though, is, you know, put that into the hands of Pierre Strong, a veteran guy who has returned kicks and punts, who hasn't done it a ton this year, if at all, actually. I'm trying to think back. I don't know that he returned any kicks and punts in the preseason, but he was a guy that, you know, he's done it before. He could do it again. Does feel like Gage is probably the guy who steps up into that role, and we're once again in the same spot of Diontae Johnson being on the bubble. But if you're not going to keep DeAndre Carter, again, a veteran return specialist, it's almost odd to me that you'd replace it with Gage Larvin. And he's looked incredible. I don't want to take it away from him. Even as a wide receiver, he's looked good, and we know DeAndre Carter wasn't going to be out there running routes. So part of me is like, it does make sense, but who are you actually creating room for? Are you just moving on and going a different route in terms of a return specialist and just adding that into Gage's bag and being like, all right, we like this kid enough, think he could develop into something, and you're just creating a room for a young piece? Or are you trying to make this team better right now? And I think that's going to be something to keep your eye on, because if you tell me you want to win games, you have to start winning on at least two of the three phases. Defense, I think you're going to be fine. Offense, I think you're probably going to lose that one, you know, plentiful this year. Which means you got to be great on special teams. I can trust Corey Bohorquez. I can't trust my kicking game. That means I need a returner to win in the third edition of that. If you're putting that in the hands of the rookie, you almost lean away from the winning games perspective just to make sure you hold on to Gage. It tells me you're gearing up for next year. I don't know that there was enough there. I like what I saw out of him. I just don't know that it was everything. And it basically boils down to, in your wide receiver room again, do you keep Deontay Johnson? Because if you're going to take four quarterbacks, which is a sell across the board, that they're taking four quarterbacks, that it's the expectation that all four guys on this team do make the roster, at least the initial 53. Well, you're going to have to keep at least five receivers. If you can opt to go down to just five, you can opt to go up to six. I imagine you're keeping three tight ends because you're going to want to run a lot of two tight end formations. You're going to have to keep at least three or four running backs. You have the four quarterbacks. You don't want to take away from the offensive line. Something has to budge. It does still feel that the wide receiver room is probably the place that has to do it. It would still mean pretty bad news for Deontay Johnson, probably not making this team if that's the case. All right, let's leave that there. When we come on back, Dylan Feltovich, Cleveland Browns on SI, going to join us. His breakdown of the rookie quarterbacks and everything heading into week one against the Cincinnati Bengals right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.